Hello and welcome to this bonus audio with the Improve Your Visualization package. In this, I want to give you a little overview and an introduction to NLP, representational systems, submodalities and predicates. This will help with your visualizing. Human beings have five senses. We can see things. With our eyes, we see light reflected off objects, and our brain translates and makes sense of them. And it turns those into images inside our mind. Now, if we close our eyes, or even with our eyes open, we can imagine what things look like. We can picture things in our mind's eye. The same is true with hearing. We can hear sounds, sound waves hit our ears, again translated, and we hear sounds, words, and ideas, and understand things. We can also do the same by imagining what a song sounds like. I'm pretty sure that right now anybody can imagine the theme, the Happy Birthday, the tune Happy Birthday. You can hear it in your head without having to sing it out loud. We also have the ability to take input in kinesthetically, i.e. we can feel things, and we also generate those excited feelings. And the same with sense of smell and taste. We can remember what something tastes like or remember what something smells like, and we can smell them. So we have these internal and external versions. We can see things, and we can see things in our mind, and we can hear things, and we can feel things. Now, these are the five modalities. Submodalities are within each separate sense modality. So within the visual modality, when we picture an image, and I'm going to use visual modality as the prime example here because this is about visualizing. When we visualize something in our mind's eye, the image that we imagine, it can be just that, a snapshot of something, a picture of something that you want to own. Or it can be an experience playing out. It could be a snapshot of a car. Or it could be visual imagery of you driving a car, or you being sat in a car behind the wheel driving a Ferrari around a racetrack on an experience day or something, getting a real kinesthetic experience and a full sensory experience of what it's like to do the thing that you want to own that kind of car. So you go on a test Ferrari race day or something, as well as keep picturing it in your mind and work towards achieving it. It's going to appear quicker for some people than others, depending on where you are and how many other things you want to do as well as achieve that, and where you are financially. You may end up having that in years' time, or in months' time, or decades' time. It really depends. If it's something that you focus on and continue to focus on and work towards, then generally speaking, it's something you will achieve. Now, if you picture something like a movie in your mind's eye, you can be in the movie. You can see yourself sat in the car seat with the top down, driving that car round a racetrack, down a country lane. Or you can imagine being behind the wheel of that vehicle and seeing the dials and controls in front of you and seeing the road, feeling it whiz by. Close your eyes and imagine the sound as well. And imagine the feeling of the wind blowing past you and the roar of the engine and the rumble of it. And that would be a visualization of you inside the image. So this would be called an associated image or movie. And if you are seeing yourself drive down the road, this would be a disassociated image. In the first one, you are associated into the image to such a degree that you are in the image. Close your eyes. If it was a deep, deep hypnotic trance or visualization, you would richly and really experience driving a car from the point of view. In every sense, it would feel real. Either way, You are in the image or inside the experience if it's a movie. That's associated. If you see yourself in the image, then you are disassociated from the image and you can see the person over there. There's a big difference to imagining seeing yourself in the front seat of the world's fastest, scariest roller coaster, or imagining sitting in the front seat and imagining what that would feel like. Big difference to the kinesthetic that comes with it. Now, that's one submodality, associated and disassociated. Something that's a color or black and white. Simply that. An image can be a colorful image or it can be a black and white image. That's another distinction within the modality of sight, within the sense of sight. Another distinction is the fact that the image can be color or black and white. Now it can be really bright and rich in color. Or it can be a candlelit romantic dinner. So the colours are not going to be bright and rich and bold and vivid in that imagery. They're going to be a lot less bright and a lot less colourful. An image could be, it could be sepia colour. So just that brown, black and white and kind of browny, that sepia tone. It could be all the colours but just dialed right down so that they're not very bright at all. So it's almost black and white, but it's still got colour in it. Sepia, with its black, white and brown, is a colour image because it contains a colour. It's black or it's white. Now, another aspect to these two, the colour or black and white, the associated or disassociated, is that, and again, with disassociated and associated, you can be in the image or you can be really close to being in the image. You can imagine looking over the shoulder of yourself. So you can't see all of yourself, you're just the back of your head or the back of your ear. Well, that's still outside of being fully into the image, i.e. that it's coming from your viewpoint through your eyes. So that would still be disassociated. Associated is when you're associated inside the experience, if it's a movie, or the image. Disassociated is when you see yourself in the situation. And these two things, you can either be in it or out of it, or it's in color or it's black and white. It's on or off is one of those two options. There are only two choices. So these are called digital submodalities. It can only be one thing or the other. With size, for example, it can be big, smaller, small, tiny, minute, enormous, vast. There is a whole range of different sizes. It isn't one option or the other. There is an entire range of options there. So this would be an example of what's called an analog submodality. So we have these two different distinctions about submodalities. Other submodalities then would include the size of an image. It can be big or it can be small. You can imagine it really close to you, or you can imagine the image further off, or a little bit closer. Another analog distinction. The image can be three-dimensional or it can be flat. The image could have a board around it. It could be wobbling. It could be a panoramic style of image, or big widescreen wraparound. The image could be blurry or out of focus. It could be transparent. You could see things through it. There might be more than one image in the same picture. If it's blurry and out of focus, these are goals that generally don't kind of happen. So when you start to examine the way you think about the things that you aren't doing that you would like to do, you might find that they're small images in your mind and they're out of focus and blurry and fuzzy. And when you do start to just take a moment to think about, well, there's something that I'd like, which I haven't got, and why haven't I got it, and how am I going to get it? And when you start to think about your plan for getting something, your action steps to achieve a certain goal, or whether it's a behavior or something that you do not have and you do not exhibit, when you start to think about the way you imagine it in your mind's eye, you'll find that that could well be out of focus and fuzzy. And if it's out of focus and it's fuzzy, it's great if it's something you don't want to think about, right? But if it is something that you really do want to do, then make it bright and bold and vivid and crisp and in rich detail. And also, one of the things you can do is to imagine that crisp, bright, bold, vivid, detailed image in the same place, location in space, to your left, to your right, straight in front of you, that you imagine the things that you do do really well, and that you are successful and good at, and that you do achieve. Good place to imagine the things that you do want in the same place of success rather than a out of focus blurry image somewhere else. So there are all these different kind of distinctions. A transparent image or semi-transparent image would allow you to stack four of them in a row, for example. So you can see the one that's closest to you and you can kind of see through it. And the next one, which is further away from you but is bigger, you can see as well, and that's semi-transparent, so you can see through to the third image, which is even bigger and further off, or you can go through to the fourth one, which again is a bit further away in space and is huge in image. And when you line these things so that they stretch off in front of you, if you line those up in your timeline, your specific locations that you imagine events in the future, your NLP timeline, see the NLP timeline for wealth video for more information about timelines. I'll put a link to that below. When you line those up in that way, as though they're in your future, certain specific dates in your future that you're going to achieve these small chunks of a goal, then that might be a better way than having a blurry, out-of-focus image that's off in the distance somewhere that you can't think of and never really have pulled into focus. So all the imagery, all the differences in the imagery that you can have, big and small, color, black and white, in focus, out-of-focus, all these different distinctions are sub-modalities in NLP. Simple as that, right? So in your mind's ear, for example, like I said, you can imagine hearing happy birthday. You can imagine it without having to sing it or hum it out loud. In your mind, you can imagine hearing happy birthday. And again, you can imagine that in a number of different ways. You can imagine it loudly, or you can imagine it quietly. It can be an imagination in your right ear, or you could imagine hearing it in your left ear more. That too could be blurry, if you like, and unclear, fuzzy, so you can't hear it. And again, the truth is that anybody who is a professional musician, or certainly one of the great musicians, would imagine hearing the music in their mind. They could pick out all the different orchestration, all the different pieces in the orchestration. They would be able to hear every different instrument, from the percussion drums through all the different bass instruments, rhythm, solo sections, vocals. They would be able to pick out all the different elements and listen, almost imagine soloing just one instrument and listen to it and then drop in the rest of all the instruments back in, or maybe just bass and drums or timpani and violas, whatever it was. They would be able to have enormous control over their audio submodalities. So we find that people are biased towards one representational system or another. So some people will be really good with their audio like that. Other people, for example, an architect, an interior designer, a painter, an artist of that kind maybe, they would have an incredible sense of imagery in their mind. So they would be able to picture what a building is going to look like without having to build it or even draw it on paper. They would be able to see a person's face in their mind and draw a caricature of them on a piece of paper. So somebody who has a very visual sense, we would say is very visual. Again, really technical, right? So that would be a visually biased person. Somebody like a musician would be a very auditory biased person. And of course, some people favor their feelings and are very aware of their feelings. So we would say that their lead representational system is kinesthetic or feeling. Kinesthetic is just a word that pertains to feeling. So we would say this person is a very visual person. Now, if you have a very visual person, you know that that person makes images in their mind. And if you use your language that uses lots of presuppositions of imagery and uses lots of words that pertain to visual things, so words like look, see, visualize, picture. If you look at something, In this way, you can see clearly in your mind what I'm trying to explain to you. And the more detail that you allow your unconscious to fill in, the more vivid an idea, an image in your mind that is clearer comes to mind with regard to learning about this subject of NLP. Now, you see, if you use those very visual words, they will appeal to a very visual person. But listen, if you want to talk to somebody who is auditory, then it's got to sound right to them. Listen, talk, sound. So you've got to use all these kind of words. It's as clear as a bell. You've got to be able to use words that pertain to audio things if you want to talk to somebody who is primarily an auditory person, because then you will be communicating to that person in a much better way. You'll have a much better rapport. You'll be communicating to that person on a similar wavelength, an auditory wavelength rather than a visual one. And the ability to be able to switch between talking to one person, maybe to your right-hand side, that is using lots of visual predicates, or talk to somebody sat on your left who is using lots of auditory predicates as you're having a conversation, is an invaluable and a fantastic ability to have, skill set to have. And it's very simple to achieve because, again, like all of this stuff, it's very simple. But unless you know about it consciously and then deliberately start to look for it and do it and have it become something that is an automatic pattern of behavior in you, then it's not something you probably ever did before. Or it's not particularly easy unless you do that, unless you deliberately practice these skills and build up a skill set. So to recap, we have representational systems, and these are visual, auditory. So visual, things we see, and we see in our mind's eye. Auditory, the things we hear, and the things we imagine hearing. We also have kinesthetic, the feelings that we generate internally that spin faster and faster inside of us. The more motivated we are to do something, and the faster that they spin, and the more excited you feel because the feelings are whirling and flowing through you. This, by the way, is an auditory or kinesthetic submodality. We're talking about a feeling spinning in our body, not pulsing, but spinning. So we've got this spinning sensation. And how fast, what speed, another submodality, how fast, what's the speed of the spinning? Location, where is it spinning in your body? All these different, the intensity, the direction, all sorts of different things that describe detail, the finer distinctions within the modality. So we have our representational systems, and then we have our submodalities within each representational system. And predicates, this is when we use the language of the person to talk to them. So this is when you talk about it being a weight off your shoulder. That's a kinesthetic predicate, a weight. You feel weights, a weight off your shoulder, a feeling, a floating light sense of release. Floating light sense of relief. And getting a grip of something, a grip, you feel a grip. Hang on a moment, hang, hold. So when you start using words that are like that, you communicate more effectively to someone, and those words are called predicates. There is a class of language that is non-specific. So I would like to explore this option. If you can arrange for more information, that would be fantastic, and I'll be able to make a decision based on the information you have supplied. Now, within that, there was no sensory language at all. If you give me your report, I'll have a look at it, and I'll be able to see what I think is the best solution about it. And that would be very visual. If you tell me more about your idea, I'll be able to consider it. And listen, I'll give you a call, and we'll talk things over. That pertains to all the audio, so it's using audio predicates. If you give me your proposal and it feels good, you know, if I get a good feeling about it, I'll contact you. We can catch up and go over it more in detail. Go over it, catch up if it feels good. Again, this would be an example of talking to somebody who uses kinesthetic predicates. that's three different ways of saying the same thing to somebody. And if you're talking to somebody and you want them to understand what you're saying, so in that example with a proposal, if I'm selling an idea to somebody, if I go to them and I say, listen, I want to tell you about this great proposal. I want to speak about it so that you can hear everything I've got to say, using all these auditory predicates, to a person who prefers visual predicates, who would rather look at a proposal, imagine in their mind whether it's a great thing, see if there's a vision that they can move forward towards, and we'll see each other again for business and chat about this. That person, very visual way of thinking, that's how the information would need to be presented to them, rather than all the auditory. So the ability to switch between that kind of language is the ability to shift your predicates to match the representational system of the other person. And any submodality-rich language that you use in there, detailed, specific language, as you're describing the sound or the sight, or the vision, the picture, or the auditory in a person's mind, the better. So, representational systems, the sense or modality that a person prefers, visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. Submodalities, the distinctions within each of those modalities, so size, location in space, loudness, left ear or right ear, feeling in the upper body, kinesthetic. Predicates, words that pertain to a specific representational system that somebody's using. So, you can already start to understand how these things would be useful with a timeline for planning and goal setting, and timelines are a fantastic NLP concept. Also, you can get the idea of how this is useful in communication, for gaining rapport with somebody, one-to-one, talking with another person, or in groups. And having an understanding of rep systems, predicates, and submodalities gives you a deeper understanding of how you think and how other people think, and how you can communicate to other people, or how you can communicate to yourself better, how you can think better, how you, the conscious mind, can create ideas, visions, goals, and communicate that idea much more effectively to your unconscious mind, to your subconscious mind, and communicate those thoughts and impressions, those ideas, to the powerhouse that is your subconscious mind. Now, one other thing here is something called eye accessing cues. The NLP eye accessing cues model is a graph of a person's head, so that when you're looking at a person and you see that their eyes move up and to the right as you're looking at a person, this suggests that they are visualizing information. So they are making an image in their mind. Now, if as you're looking to them, they look up and to the right, then they are, generally speaking, remembering something. So they're picturing something they've seen before. If they're looking up but to the left side, then generally speaking, they are constructing in their mind an imagination of something that they've never seen before. If their eyes are moving upwards, you know they're visualizing something. If their eyes move upwards a lot in conversation, and if they use lots of words like look, picture, imagine, show, if they use all these kind of words in conversations, then you can pretty much bet that their primary lead system is visual. Their rep system is visual. So that means that you would be best placed to talk to that person using lots of visual words, even holding stuff up and showing and pointing, being visual and using visual words. If a person's eyes move sideways, yeah, and you can remember this by they're moving sideways towards their ears. Eyes and ears are level. So if the eyes move sideways to the right, again, as you're looking at the person, if their eyes go to the right, they are hearing sound. And the right-hand side, just like the right-hand side for visual, right hand was remembered. The right-hand side for auditory is remembered. So if their eyes go to the right, then they are hearing things they've heard before. If they go to the left, as you're looking at them, then they are hearing something they've never heard before. So maybe they're imagining a piece of music, it's a composer, or maybe they're imagining somebody they know saying something they've never said before to them, or somebody they've never spoken to. They're constructing sound. If a person's eyes, as you're looking to them, go down and to the right, then they are probably talking to themselves, their internal dialogue. If their eyes are going down, but this time to the left as you look at them, then they are paying attention to the feelings in their body. Now, of course, this is just a model. This is just a guide. It's not 100% in everybody. Some of them might be reversed. The visual and the auditory, one or the other or both, might be reversed in the opposite way around. So remembered might be on the left, as opposed to, generally speaking, being on the right. So the idea is to notice these things. Now, Dr. Richard Mandler came up with the eye accessing cues here and all the submodality techniques. He draws from successful people using these processes to model how they do things successfully. Now, when you see somebody and their eyes are moving in those kind of directions and you listen to them and the words they are using, then you get an idea as to what rep system they favor. And so you know what category of predicates, the feeling-based words or the visual words, the auditory words, that you should use when you're communicating to that person, and whether to paint images in their mind's eye. The more developed auditory and visually that you are, and the more control that you have over your feelings, so you can, on call, deliberately create a whirling feeling of motivation in your body, just literally switch it on, and that you can switch that on whenever you want, and that you can crisp, detail, vivid, big images in your mind of the things and experiences you want to have, and you can use your auditory to really motivate you to have an internal dialogue that is so motivating inside your mind, as well as being able to imagine the sounds that would be happening in this experience. When you are able to really take control of your feelings, of your kinesthetics, and spin them fast, make them big, rich pictures and imagery, sounds in your mind, then you are able to engage your senses and communicate to your subconscious mind so much more powerfully. And this is about boosting your ability to visualize. So if you're lacking in the visual area and you use these techniques that are in the first part, the MP3, help, I can't visualize, to increase your ability to visualize. And if you use the hypnosis audio recording several times each week for a month or so, your dreams will become rich and full of imagery, as well as taking this information from this bonus NLP audio. And you can listen to this again. You'll hear stuff in it the next time that you didn't hear before. You'll get new information and things will connect together in a different way. So I'd advise listening to this again. Listen to the MP3 of the hypnosis session regularly for a month or so and see a dramatic change in your ability and your power to visualize.